Get Gardening is brought to you by Plantscape Windsor. Love your space.
They say talking to your plants may help them grow.
You look ravishing.
Oh, you're so grounded.
I'm rooting for you, bud.
If you really want your plants to grow, just talk to Jay Terryberry now on AM 800's Get Gardening.
What have we done to the world? Look what we've done. What about all the peace that you pledged your only son?
Well, good morning and welcome back to Live and Local. Time for Get Gardening. You can always give us a text, 10-800-519-792-2559. Just did the tour of the building, as I usually do during the news. Flurries have started in downtown Windsor. Yeah, coming out there. Not too bad. Actually, it looks kind of pretty. If it was around the holidays, I would approve of this. But I'm over it all, and I want spring to come, so I don't really like it. But it does look pretty out there. Jay Terryberry joins us this morning. Jay, how are you?
It is snowing in South Windsor, too.
It is snowing in South Windsor. There you go.
There you go. And, yeah. it's sunny, so I'm kind of waiting for a snowbow here.
Okay,
I don't know
if
we have such a thing, but it's sunny and snowing. So there you go.
So the sun's starting to crack through, is it?
It is.
Okay, because I didn't see any sun down here. It's still overcast in this area.
Yeah,
so
we are south.
Yeah, it is 10 minutes down the road from us. It is sunny, so there you go. You're used to the sun, though, coming back from Hawaii. Are you back into the cold weather now? Are you used to it? Are you still hoping for another trip somewhere warm?
I never get used to it. I'm not a true winter lover. I mean, I've lived in it my whole life in the winter, and you get used to it, but you never get used to it. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for spring. I've already got bulbs up in my front yard. Some of my snowdrops are already flowering, which is, this might be as early as I've ever noticed it before by mid, and they've been up for over a week, so that's a little early, but it's the first sign of spring, and that always warms me up a bit.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to my brother, and he's like, "Hey, I'm going on a trip this weekend." I was like, "Okay, where are you going?" He's like, "Moose Factory." Like Moose Factory. I mean, you're going up to James Bay.
Yeah, that's up there.
And he was, I guess they're helping out the community there. It's an indigenous community that they're helping out, if you don't know where Moose Factory is. I'm sure a lot of people don't know where Moose Factory is. Yesterday, he's going over like one of those ice roads, like you'd see on the Discovery Channel, like, you know, the ice road show.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I'm just like, why? Why are you going up there?
I'd love to do that once.
Yeah?
I think that'd be awesome. Yeah.
It might be the only way we get close to the Arctic Ocean. I know that's the most southern part of the Arctic Ocean, right? So
it
could be worse. It could be a lot colder. I think he was saying it was minus 30 or something like that yesterday. So there you go.
That's pretty cold.
I'll take the flurries. I'll take the flurries down here. Of course, you can always text us, 10-800-519-792-2559. First one off the bat here. Kyle, love the show today. Just started listening to Get Gardening. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you for coming along and joining us. I'm getting into gardening. How often does Jay fertilize in the summer?
I guess it depends on what I'm fertilizing.
I was wondering,
There are many, many things. I typically, well, let's start. I don't fertilize my lawn in the summer very much. I usually fertilize it a couple times in the spring. Never really early in the spring because I'm a fall fertilizer. That's when I put most of the fertilizer down on my lawn. But usually in the summer, I don't fertilize at all. So we'll start talking about turf in a little bit. We'll do our spring and fall thing, and we'll kind of go from there. Plants in the garden, I generally fertilize relatively early in the spring. I do a granular fertilize of the entire garden area. Some plants I'll give a little more than others, and I just take granular fertilizer around and kind of spread it around the drip line of all my shrubs and my trees, which I do in the fall. But most of the other shrubs and things, I do a lot of those in the spring just because I can get at them. I don't have a lot of growth in my gardens at that time. It allows me to see, and I can get in there and figure everything out. So I'll do that in the spring, usually April-ish. And then I usually don't do them again until probably early fall.
Oh, wow.
If I do them at all again. That's usually a one-shot deal for the plants in my garden. Now, house plants, once I move them outside in their containers, I'm pretty well watering and fertilizing every 2 weeks. I mean, I water way more than that, but I probably fertilize. I put a granular fertilizer in all the pots when I bring them outside in the spring, and most of those that I have are good for 90 days. And then I water every couple weeks and I add fertilizer to that, a liquid fertilizer, every 2 weeks, sometimes more than that, depending on the plant, depending on how much rain we're getting, depending on how good the weather conditions are and how the growth is. So it's kind of all over the place as far as fertilizer goes, but I just kind of play it by ear. And, you know, if you're just getting into gardening, you know, look up some sites that just give you the basics to start, and they will say, hey, you know, if you have this type of plant, if you have evergreens, you know, water or fertilize once a year. If you have deciduous plants, fertilize twice a year or whatever, and kind of start with those and then just monitor the plants. And as time goes by, you'll say, well, you know, I don't really have to fertilize that much, or I do have to fertilize a little bit more. And you kind of get the hang of things, you know, after a while, depending on what you're growing and how often you're watering. That all those things, they make a huge difference, you know, rather than just saying, okay, here's a blanket application of fertilizer, I'm good to go.
And you mentioned liquid fertilizer there. You are a big fan of that, right?
I use liquid fertilizer. Well, it's immediately available.
Yeah.
You know, it's the plants, you know, you look at golf tournaments on TV, and you look at how green some of those, the turf areas are, and in a lot of cases, that's just a shot of liquid fertilizer right before the golf tournament starts. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're fertilizing regularly and doing everything you need to do to get a green lawn anyway, but they'll always give them a shot of liquid fertilizer just to green things up. It might be just a shot of iron, or it might be a shot of many elements put together. But it's immediately available to the plants. You're also giving them a shot of water when you use liquid fertilizer. So if they need watering, you're watering and fertilizing at the same time. Now, it doesn't last as long as granular fertilizer. So if you're going with liquid fertilizer, you do have to apply it more often. But other than that, I think it's a great product, and there's many, many, many products out there available for all kinds of different plants, and I think liquid fertilizers are great. You can get hose-end applicators for your garden. You know, you can mix it up in a watering can. You can put it in a spritzer bottle for your orchids. You know, there's all kinds of ways to apply liquid fertilizers. That they're a great product.
Yeah, I know you mentioned it. Definitely last summer, I know we talked about it during our Canada Day show, because I remember getting an explosion of texts about it. So
yeah,
I knew that you were a big fan of that. Another one here, of course, you can text 1-800-519-792-2559. Jay, out of the three, what do you recommend? Should I plant in containers, raised garden beds, or right in the ground?
Yes.
All three.
I guess, you know, if you're talking about a vegetable garden, I do prefer raised gardens.
Okay.
I think raised gardens are the best. You get great air movement. You know, you can put it right into the sun. You know, I've got garden beds all around the exterior of my property, which don't get tremendous amount of sun because I have trees there as well. But in the middle of my backyard, that's where I have my raised gardens for my vegetables. I have other raised gardens in a more shaded area. I won't say it's full shade, but it gets more shade than they do out in the middle of the backyard. And I grow lettuce and things like that in there because they don't need full torching sun all day. So a lot of my greens I'll grow in there. But then when it comes to tomatoes and peppers and things like that, full sun in a raised garden is the way I go. I have grown many things in pots before. Different containers, excuse me, I've grown vegetables, I grow flowers, I grow perennials, I grow bulbs, I grow all kinds of things. The problem with containers over time is they get root bound. It's called pot bound, and the roots just don't really have anywhere else to go. So if you're going to grow a number of things, again, maybe vegetables in these containers, make sure they're big enough. They don't necessarily have to be super deep, but they have to be wide because those roots will spread. You're probably using a soilless media so the roots can get through that very, very easy as compared to in the garden. you know, and you fertilize and water whenever they need it, which is usually almost every day in the middle of the summer. So there's more maintenance involved with containers. Raised gardens, I use a mixture of real soil, and I add all kinds of other elements to it. I'll add compost, I'll add manures, I'll add leaf mold. You know, I add all kinds of things into there, and I do that every year to really boost the soil that's there. So that's really good. In the garden, you basically get what you get. You know, if you've got a heavy clay soil, you can add all kinds of things to it, but it's still a heavy clay soil. So you're dealing with natural soil, and that's fine. But you have to be very careful what you put there. In containers and raised gardens, because the soil's, again, I don't want to say artificial, but it's amended, let's put it that way, you can grow a lot of things, where in the garden, you have to be careful what you plant, because, again, if you have a heavy clay soil like we do in South Windsor, you generally are limited to the plants that you can put in there that will do well. You've also got competition from roots from trees and shrubs and grass and things like that. So everything's good. I mean, I grow in everything. I grow in all three of those. And you just have to be careful of what you grow where and how you treat it.
You can give us a text, 1-800-519-792-2559. Hi, I wrapped my new hibiscus tree in burlap. When do I remove the burlap? Thanks.
Yeah, it's early. We're still getting some weather. Anything that's wrapped, I've only got a couple of little things wrapped in burlap, and they're out at the cottage, and basically I put the burlap on top because it's right on the edge of the house, and if we get a lot of snow, which obviously we haven't had yet, but it kind of protects those from the snow from getting inside the plant and spreading the branches apart. I also tie them up with twine. And I've got some things at home here that I tie up with twine as well. I will generally leave those, we're talking at least another month. I generally go until the end of March because we are prone to some late season snowfalls around here. I mean, my birthday's mid-April. It snowed on my birthday a number of times before. So there's no rush to get things untied or unburlapped, whatever you happen to do. Because they're not really pushing out any growth that early, unless we get a super early spring. But usually around the beginning of April is when I start to remove things, remove burlap and remove twine and things like that. But keep your eye on the long-term weather forecast. You know, come the 1st of April, I'll look ahead at the 15-day forecast and say, okay, they're calling for snow in a week, so I'm just going to leave that stuff on. But again, you don't want to leave it on too long. I did that a couple of years ago, and my yews were all they had flowered, and there was pollen all inside. I removed the burlap, and there was pollen flying around everywhere. Not that that hurts anything, but I mean, you know, it's just I waited too long. So, again, it's too early now, but you don't want to go into May. Let's put it that way.
For us winter birthdays, and I'll say April winter birthday if it snowed on your birthday, can we just start celebrating it in July?
Yeah.
July or August?
Well, that's what my wife and I had a long conversation. Her birthday is December 28th.
Yeah.
So
there
it's like the worst time for a birthday ever. So she's going to start celebrating her birthday on July 4th.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Mine's in January. When we were walking to the restaurant that night, it was so cold, January 23rd. It was so cold. And I looked at my wife and I said, from now on, we're celebrating it on July 23rd or August 23rd, depending on the weather.
Yeah. No,
like growing up, January birthday was the best because I was always the oldest. Now, as I'm an adult and I'm old, I'm just like, why? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to be born in the winter?
Well, she has to take the first week of July off.
Yeah,
it's where she works.
Right.
Everybody takes the first week of July off.
So good point.
Like, I'm off anyway. Why don't we celebrate my birthday then? And I went, I'm good for it. So,
all right, new trend. Live and local gig gardening new trend. We start celebrating our birthday in the summer. You can text 1-800-519-792-2559. Be a part of the show. You have a gardening question, get it in. Jay Terryberry is with me. It's Kyle Horner. Gig Gardening on AM 800.
Helping you get to the root of the problem.
Here's Jay Terryberry on AM 800's Get Gardening.
Good morning and welcome back to Get Gardening. Kyle Horner with you, Jay Terryberry, answering your questions. You can text 1-800-519-792-2559. Got a text, lots of sunshine right now in Leamington and beautiful fluffy snow on the ground. A very light snow drifting from the sky. I bet you that looks beautiful by the lake. Hey, don't take these beautiful mornings for granted, all right? Soak them in and appreciate them.
Anytime we get sun is a bonus in the winter.
That's right, especially in February. I tell you, the beginning of January was dark and gray.
It was bleak.
good morning, Kyle and Jay. Please thank Jay for talking about his mistakes. It warms my heart to not feel so inadequate about my own mishaps.
I've had many.
He's a wealth of knowledge, but he's not perfect. text here from Ted Rushlow. Oh, thanks for listening, Ted. Appreciate that. I know I met him a few times. He's a big Tiger fan. Ted, by the way, Tigers are going to be good this year. I don't care what anybody says.
We can only hope.
It's a good young team. Watch out. Jay, what am I risking if I move my daffodil bulbs in the next couple weeks? They are bunched in a, and I couldn't remember where they were in the fall. Also, when can I move some rose bushes?
Oh, you want to move them in the garden, I think. Okay.
Yeah, daffodils. When can I move my daffodil bulbs?
You know where they are. You can probably do it now as long as you can dig up the entire clump. You don't, they're tough. Daffodil bulbs are very tough. So you're not going to do too much to them, but if you want to move them now, I would say do it. Just make sure, and again, the ground's not frozen. I mean, we've had below freezing temperatures the last couple nights, but if it's frozen, excuse me, it's only on the surface. So you could dig down, get the entire clump, and again, if they were planted the way they're supposed to be planted, they're probably 15 to 20 centimeters deep, 6 to 8 inches down. So you'll want to get the entire clump. You can pick it up, pre-dig the hole where you're going to move them, and move them. If you're, you could do it now. I'm not saying that they're not going to maybe look 100% this spring, but if you want to move them now, I would say go ahead and do it. I don't really think that's a big issue. As far as moving roses, roses are best moved in the spring. It's too early. I would not risk moving roses right now. They're kind of finicky with the cold. They're, most of them are very cold hardy, but they're not the hardiest plants that we have, let's put it that way. So roses are best moved in the spring. So if you can hold off and wait at least another month, you know, by mid-March, I would say you could do it. I'm still thinking that's early, but if you have to do it, at least wait another month. Two would be better.
Okay. Again, you can text us, 1-800-519-792-2559 on the phones. Hi, I have a boxwood, but I notice it looks like it has something. The leaves are falling off and some are yellow. Any suggestions on how to treat them would be appreciated. Thanks.
Yeah, there's a little bug that gets inside the leaf. It's a little boxwood miner, and it's we've had it around for years. I haven't talked to too many people that have extensive boxwoods that don't have an issue with it. That's my guess as to what it is. It could be something else. It could be winter damage. It could be a number of things. But my guess is it's probably the boxwood miner. And it gets inside the leaf, and it does damage that way. And the plant's yellow, and you know they'll last for a little while. There are some products available. You'll have to wait till spring. They're not active now, obviously, and it's not really the time to spray, but there are some products that we have that you'll have to get. There's some organic sprays. Take a look. I can't think of any off the top of my head that you can apply. Again, keep them watered in the summer. Fertilize them fairly regularly. They do like feed. You can wrap them in the winter. We talked about the burlap a little while ago. Boxwoods are one because they retain their leaves in the winter. They do like to have to be wrapped in burlap. It does help to protect them from the elements, so that's a good thing to do. Maybe not the rest of this winter, but starting next year, that would certainly help. You could build a little fence. You could build a little tent over them. You know, whatever the case may be, if it's a hedge or individual plants. But again, just be careful with the pruning. Don't cut them back too hard, too late. You know, they can be clipped any time, but the more you clip them, the more the individual leaves are damaged and you get yellowing that way. So it could be a combination of many things. So just kind of wait till the spring, see if you can see any insect activity. That's my guess as to what it is. So again, water, fertilize. Look up what you can spray on them. Again, we don't have a tremendous amount of sprays available to us anymore with the pesticide ban has been in effect now for a number of years. But so we're limited that way. But take a look. There are some things out there that you can probably spray and just kind of do the full treatment that way, and your boxwoods will probably come along.
I got a text here. What is a good substitute for boxwoods?
That's a good question, because boxwoods are an excellent plant. You know, they're an evergreen, so they keep their leaves in the winter. As I mentioned, they're kind of like a broadleaf evergreen, so they don't look like most of our pines and spruce and things of that nature. So they retain. So it's kind of a difficult thing. If you're planting it as a hedge, you know, we do have other materials. And what's great about boxwood is you can plant it as a low hedge. You know, if you want a little garden divider or whatever the case may be, and you only want something that's 30 centimeters tall, then boxwood's perfect for that. And so we're kind of limited as to what we can use other than that. I mean, we've used privet around here as a hedge material for ages and ages and ages, but it's a lot taller. It would take a lot more pruning to keep it smaller if you wanted it small, but it's a good substitute for a hedge. I mean, you can use yews. They are evergreen. They're nice dark green. Again, there are some dwarf ones available, but they're not as small as some of the boxwoods. I mean, if you let a boxwood go, they can get quite large as well. So there are some other conifers out there and some deciduous plants that are good substitutes for them. But again, they're a very popular plant. They're used in many, many applications in the garden. We used to use euonymus years and years ago, kind of before boxwoods became super popular. That's all we used to plant was euonymus hedges, but euonymus gets scale and aphids, they get all kinds of, whitefly, they get all kinds of insect problems. So we kind of stopped using a lot of those and started using boxwoods. And that's kind of where the transition went since I've been in the business. So there are some other things out there available, but it's hard to replace something that's as versatile and well-used as boxwoods. But there are some things, so just kind of take a look around. Go to the garden centers in the spring when they have their best complement of plants, when they get all their new stock in, and go see what they have there that you would like. Because again, it might be a deciduous, it might be a conifer, but there are some things, and there's a lot more dwarf plants available to us now than there were a number of years ago, and a lot more cultivars. This is something Sandy should be talking about because he knows all that stuff. And there's just many, many more things available that would be a good replacement, but it's difficult to replace a plant like that.
Okay, let's keep it going here. Good morning, guys. I'm thinking in late March sometime, hopefully we can get another snowfall. I plan on throwing compost over the entire lawn and garden. Yes, I know possible contamination with weed seed and whatever else, but I have fall seeds still down that will possibly be sprouting and taking off. Your thoughts on that?
That's fine. If it's good compost and it's been composted properly, there shouldn't be any weed seeds. That's the whole idea behind composting, is it heats up so much that the weed seeds or any seeds are destroyed. That's the idea of compost. Compost is a pile that heats up and breaks down. So if it's good compost and it's done properly, there shouldn't be many or any weed seeds. Now, spreading it over something that's already been seeded last fall is okay, but it has to be a pretty thin layer. You know, if you put seed on the grass, you don't want to go with anything more than about a quarter of an inch. Like, you've got to keep it pretty, you know, pretty light. In the gardens, you could go a little heavier. If there's no seed in the gardens, which I doubt there is, you could definitely go a little heavier than that, work it in the spring. I'm a firm believer in composting in the fall. I put all my compost down in the fall, or a lot of it anyway. I've got a little bit more to put down, but I put most of it down on all my gardens or anything I want to spread on the lawn. I do it in the fall. That way it gets a chance to break down even further in the winter, so there's no real heat coming from it when the spring comes and everything's time to grow. So yes, you can do that. Just be careful, because you might smother some of the seed. You could always throw a little bit more seed over top of it after you put the compost down as well.
Okay. I left my grasses and hydrangeas for the winter. When do I cut them down?
You can cut them down today.
There you go.
If you want to go out there, you know, nice sunny day. yeah, I do. Again, I cut mine down in the fall. I know what the weight of the snow can do to my grasses. I'd love to leave my grasses all winter, but I've spent too many winters with ice and snow and things like that, and they flatten right out. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them do. So I cut them down in the fall. But you can do them now. You know, you can take them almost right down to ground level. I usually just leave a couple inches, you know, a few centimeters, coming up out of the ground on my grasses, hydrangeas. I've already cut off the flowers. I didn't cut any more than that. I just deadheaded them in the fall. I leave them until spring, kind of look, make sure there's no dead or broken branches or anything like that, and then they should be good to go. So I've already done it, but yeah, if you want to do it, you can do it anytime. Don't wait too long. You don't want new growth to start coming up, because then when you get down and start trimming away the grasses or the hydrangea flowers, you're already got new growth there and you're removing some of that as well. So any time between, you know, let's say now and again, I'll look at, you know, the end of March kind of a thing is fine to get out there and do that stuff.
Again, you can text us 1-800-519-792-2559 on the phone lines. Hi, I have two very big planters by the front step that are 8 feet by 5 feet. One side is afternoon shade and the other is afternoon sun. Can you recommend a summer flower that spreads quickly and not too tall? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's see. if you're looking to get both of those areas, we're kind of looking at two different growth habits. So you've got one that's sunny and one that's not in the afternoon. So if you're looking at growing, the same plant in each, that could be a little more difficult. I'm always partial, and again, this is up to the individual, but I love impatience. I'm assuming you're talking annuals here. They would do fine on the shady side. The sunny afternoon side, they would probably need a little bit more water. There are New Guinea impatiens that are available as well that would probably handle those conditions. Again, do a little research into this. There's tons of things you can put on the sunny side. The shady side, you're a little more limited as to what, and to try and match the two sides is very difficult. I've got similar situations out at the cottage. I've got planter boxes in full sun on the deck and planter boxes that only get morning sun. And I have to grow two totally different types of plants. I grow impatiens and begonias. Begonias are always good for both sun and shade. So I kind of mix begonias into my planters every year because they will handle both. They do very, very well in the shade, and they do almost as good in the sun. There's a difference. You can see it, but they handle both conditions. There's not a lot of plants out there that are great in both. Begonias are one of the few that can kind of handle both conditions, but the ones in the sun will need to be watered more. Which means they'll need to be fertilized more. So kind of do a little bit of research, but those are a couple suggestions anyway. They're kind of my favorites because they bloom all summer long. The leaves are beautiful. They do need to be watered, but again, they're containers, so there's nothing you can do about that. Any types of containers need to be watered more often. But those would be some of my basic suggestions, but again, as I've suggested before, a walk around garden centers in the spring will give you a wealth of ideas. Look up some seed catalogs online, you know, look up Stokes Seeds and some of the catalogs, and just go through, and they give very, very good descriptions on the conditions that these plants will handle. This one will handle sun and shade. This one will handle morning sun, da-da-da-da-da. And they just give you great information as to how much water these plants need. It's just, they're great. And that's why they're there, because they want you to buy their seed, but they want you to buy it again. So they want you to plant your plants where they should be planted. So you'll say next year, oh, they were wonderful, so I'm going to plant those again. So look up the information that way, but those are a few things to get started. We'll talk about this more as the spring goes on and we start, you know, looking at plants to put in certain areas, and we'll come up with some good suggestions for planter boxes and things of that nature. But okay. I kind of start with the begonias, impatiens, some of the things, you know, New Guinea impatiens, some of the things like that that'll tolerate some of those different conditions.
Okay. It may be winter, it may be February, snowing out there and a little cold, but we are loaded today. So let's start a little rapid fire early here, Jay. I want to make sure we get to them. Good morning, guys. I purchased a weeping pussy willow last week and just wondering how I can care for it. And then can I transport it outdoors somewhere permanently in the spring?
You absolutely can. They're pretty they're pretty tough plants. They grow quite fast. You know, again, if you've got it now, put it in full sun. You know, water it. They're pussy willows. You know, anytime you're talking about a willow, they can handle a fair amount of water. So keep it moist. Keep it in full sun. Again, because it's probably going to push out some growth in the house, don't put it outside until at least mid-May. You know, it's not conditioned to the outside. It's hardy. Once you get it outside, you can leave it outside. But it's at least until mid-May before you bring it outside and put it in its permanent position.
Can I safely move a butterfly bush right now?
You probably can. Again, the ground's not really that frozen. Again, take a huge root ball. Take as much as you can carry, you know, with the plant. I've moved them late in the fall before. I've moved them early in the spring. I've never really had a problem with them. So, yes, you probably can. I would still suggest watering it in. Even if you move it now, you'll want to give it a good bucket of water on there. But yeah, if you can dig it out and you can get a big enough root ball, you can move it now.
All right, one more before the break here. Good morning, Jay. When should we spray our apple and peach tree with neem oil? Thanks.
Yeah, it's too early right now. You want to wait until temperatures are generally above 10 Celsius. 50 Fahrenheit. So once you get a day where temps are a little warmer, it's like, you know, putting down dormant oil and lime sulfur sprays and things of that nature on your fruit trees. Usually early spring when conditions allow you to do it, which means when you fill up your sprayer and you mix it, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to all coagulate and not freeze, but it's going to get all thick and it's not going to come out of the sprayer very well because it's too cold. So usually any nice sunny day over 10 degrees Celsius should be fine. And you'll, so, you know, again, is that going to be mid-March? When are we going to start getting those types of days? There's no use putting it on too early now because none of the insects that you're spraying for are active anyway. So you'll want to wait until things do warm up a bit, but you still want to do it before the plants break out in leaf and flower buds. So you've got to find that happy medium where it's warm enough, but the plant's not physically growing yet.
Okay. We'll take the final break. If you have a question for Jay, this is your last opportunity this week. You can text 1-800-519-792-2559. Jay Terberry, Kyle Horner for Get Gardening on AM 800.
They say talking to your plants may help them grow.
You look ravishing.
Oh, you're so grounded.
I'm rooting for you, bud.
If you really want your plants to grow, just talk to Jay Terberry now on AM 800's Get Gardening.
Those intros are so cheesy. I love cheesy, but those are cheesy. You can text us 1-800-519-792-2559. It's winter out there, but boy, we are busy. It is hot right here in the studio, so we'll continue the rapid fire here with Jay Terberry, answering all of your questions. Jay, I have a needle pine bush in the front of my house that needs to be trimmed. Can I do that now, or should I wait till spring?
No, wait till spring. It will candle. If it's a pine, it's called candling, and that's the new growth come out, and it's this, the growth at the end of stems that will come out, and eventually the needles will fold out from that. But the best time to prune it is when that new growth comes out, and you can snap that off, and wherever you snap it off, that's all the growth you're going to get from the plant this year. So it's very difficult to take pines back into the old growth, because if you take them too far, you may remove too much and kill off that whole branch. So if you like it the size that it is, just kind of prune those candles back very hard, and you won't get any more growth out of it this year.
Good morning. Would like to grow geraniums from seed. Should I choose plastic pots or those peat pots to start them? Thanks for the help.
Yeah, I like both. You know, I've used peat pots. I've used plastic pots. I don't really have a problem with either. You just want to make sure the soil that you use is well drained. It's probably almost time to start geraniums. They're always one of the first annuals to grow. It might still be a little bit early, but they're always one of the ones that we get going pretty early at the greenhouse at the college. I haven't done any seeding yet for anything of mine. That's coming, you know, not for another month or so before I even think about starting to seed. But geraniums need a little bit more time. But yeah, either container I'm fine with.
All right. Text here from our local limousine driver. That's Brian out there driving around his daughter on her bachelor party in Wine Country. Well, Brian, come by here and pick us up. That sounds like a great Saturday.
Yeah.
His question, can you still trim silver maples in the spring if you forgot in the fall?
You can, but you shouldn't. They're bleeders. I saw a thing on the news last night that the maple syrup producers are tapping right now. They say it's perfect conditions with the minus fives at night or whatever temps we're getting. So the sap is running. So when you prune a branch, the sap runs, and you get all kinds of dripping and sap running out of the trees wherever you make a wound, wherever you make a cut. So wait until the trees are in leaf, and then do your pruning then. You can prune now. It's not going to kill the tree, but it's not going to help it either.
Okay. Brian, sorry about that, but best of luck and congratulations to your daughter on the engagement. Good morning, Kyle and Jay. I have three young Japanese maples, Emperor One, Cut Leaf, and Full Moon. I planted them in 2022 within 10 feet of the front of the house facing east-southeast. I have burlapped them during the winter since planting. We live in the county and do get a lot of strong winds. How many years should I burlap them? It says, how many years should I burlap them for? Thanks and happy random act of kindness day from Karen. Thanks, Karen.
I would burlap them for as long as you can. You know, if you're keeping them on the small side, I would burlap them every year. That sounds like a very exposed condition out there, which I've lived in the county, and I know how windy it can be out there. I would burlap them every winter that you can. Now, if they get too big, then obviously you can't help it. Also, make sure that you mulch them. You know, give a good coating of mulch every fall on the base where the roots are, you know, 3 inches, 4 inches of good mulch every winter or every fall before the winter. And that way it helped to keep the soil moderated. And you also, again, you could almost spray them with an anti-desiccant, even though we usually do that with evergreens. But that would help to protect the plant. You know, once the leaves fall off in the fall, that would help to protect the plant from losing water and drying out as well. But I would burlap them for as long as you can.
Hi, is it too early to start bare root geraniums?
No, it's not, but they're probably going to stretch a bit. I mean, the sun's getting more intense. We can feel it every day. I mean, I just look at my house plants here, and I can see them leaning towards the sun. So, you know, I turn them every week when I water them to make sure they grow evenly. No, you can start them now. It's just they're going to grow, and you're going to run out of space after a while. I don't know what kind of conditions you have, but I would think it's a little bit early. But if you want to get them going, by all means, you can get them going now. Yeah.
Last one here. I like it. I like the way we're going to finish off here. Jay and Kyle, you've hooked me on gardening. Never done it before. What is the easiest vegetable to grow to start off my gardening career?
I would say tomatoes. They're
tomatoes,
pretty,
yeah.
They're pretty foolproof. I mean, you can grow all the lettuces and things like that. That's just a matter of putting seed in the garden and covering them and watering them, and then they'll all come up. You know, they're pretty basic that way. Radishes are easy to grow from seed. There's a lot of things that you can seed directly into the garden. You might want to start with those. But tomatoes, you can start tomatoes in the house. It's, again, I think it's too early. I'm not even thinking about starting anything at least for another month, probably more like 6 weeks. Before I plant any seed. But easy to grow inside, easy to grow outside. You know,
okay.
they like water. But again, you can do all kinds of stuff with tomatoes. And again, the benefits are tremendous. You get tomatoes.
Just selfishly, as somebody that, you know, looking to do that as well, what about cukes and peppers? I kind of want to get into that. How tough
is that?
Peppers
need a ton of sun, and they like it really warm.
Okay.
So if you've got those conditions, they're great. Cukes need a lot of room.
Okay.
And that's why I typically don't recommend cukes to people that are just getting started. You need big garden space, you know, for melons and cukes and things like that, even beans, because they spread out so much. The bounty's great, but you need space. So, you know, things like tomatoes and that, I mean, they need room too, but they kind of grow more upright than they do.
Yeah.
Along the ground. So that's why I generally recommend some of those things that grow more upright. You know, Swiss chards and kales and things like that are also super easy to grow.
Oh, yeah.
And again, they're almost foolproof, those plants. So,
Yeah, we did tomatoes, I think, two summers ago, and some of them did okay. Some of them really never turned red, and some of them just looked awful, right? So maybe I'll team up with this texter here, and we can start a career.
You know, there's lots of, again, as the season progresses, we'll talk about more about that stuff, the things that are actually in the garden at the time. But most of them, there's a lot of veggies that are really easy to grow. There's some that are a total pain, but there's some that are really easy to grow.
All right. We'll talk about that as the weather gets warmer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, we'll settle with feeling like minus 12 and a little bit of snow. At least it's sunny out there. Jay, thank you so much. Always love starting off Saturday with you.
Okay.
We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Again, that's Jay. Actually, we'll talk to you in March, right? We don't have a couple weeks. Let's see. Next week is the last Saturday in February. There you go. There you go. March is coming.
We're on our way.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Jay Terryberry answering all of your questions. As always, you can always text 10-800-519-792-2559. There you go. We're basically a week away, week and a half away from the month of March. Spring and summer is coming. It's Kyle Horner. Get gardening on AM 800.